My wife and I have been missionaries for 28 years, and God is doing some wonderful things in Papua New Guinea. And the ministry would not be successful if I can use human terms, in that Lord has given me a wonderful wife and to help, and not only to look after me and our children, but also help in the ministry. She teaches literacy and pidgin literacy. She does English as a second language, teaches the ladies at our Bible school and pastor's wife's class. And in the video, you saw a little bit about her making bread or dough. She teaches the wives to make communion bread and while they're in the bush, because it's very difficult to come by. And so that's one part of the class. And she teaches that to our ladies. But you have had a significant part in our ministry in Papua New Guinea. And we want to say thank you for not only praying for us, but participating on a monthly basis of giving to help us to do what the Lord has called us to do. A little bit about who we are. Turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to 1 Corinthians in chapter number 16 while I'm just talking here. We went to the field in 1993, 2 years of furlough or deputation, raising funds to go, and arrived on the field in 1993. We had 4 children, and the youngest was 3 months old, and now she's grown and has married and 2 children. That is Kimberly. And her husband are serving on staff at Granite Baptist Church in Baltimore. And then we our next born, Kenneth, he was 5 years old when we went to the field. And, man, now he is a missionary to Papua New Guinea and doing a wonderful work on an island outside of the mainland on Bougainville. It's been a war-torn island for many years, and just recently, mission work has been, missionaries have been able to go back to that area and do gospel preaching. And so, Kenny is one of the first missionaries to go in that area. He is down south in a village area called Booing. Very beautiful there if you like to do snorkeling or scuba diving. Man, it's a wonderful place. Clams are just giant. They're just as big as this pulpit. But beautiful, beautiful area, but one of the very beautiful people. But they need to know the Christ. And Kenny's there. He just baptized 6 people, 6 adults about 3 weeks ago. And so pray for this new work as he begins to start a church there. And then Sharon is in Medford, Oregon, teaching at our Christian school at Harvest Baptist Temple. Recently, her husband passed away, and leaving her behind with 3 small children. And then Rebecca, our oldest, she is in Lancaster, California, and married and have 4 children. And her husband is on staff at Lancaster Baptist Church, serving there. And so God is doing some wonderful things in our lives. And I am looking forward to going back and continuing on in the ministry that God has called us to. When we go back, we want to... You saw our classroom, and it's pretty rustic, I guess. And we want to try and modernize it, build a new one, actually, with PowerPoints and our electrical outlets and lights, and enclose it and make it more an environment for study and using PowerPoints and all that. But in the process, it'll cost about $20,000. And we have raised $10,000 already, and I want you to pray about it and just pray that God would raise up that finances before we leave. We're planning on going back to New Guinea in February, and February 18th. Now remember that date. Not only do we fly and go through TSA and all that, but remember that date because it's my birthday. All right? And I will be 60 years old at that time, and remember February 18th. Thinking about 60 years old, I look at ministry-wise, and maybe 70, if God will give me health and mental ability to be able to continue on. But looking at 70 years old, that's 10 years. In 10 years, if an individual right now, a high school student, would say, yes, God has called me specifically to go to Papua New Guinea and specifically to WOW to help the Keks. Well, you have 4 years of Bible school. You have a couple years of training in a ministry. 2 years of deputation, raising funds to go, and then finally come to the field. In that process, it's about 8 years. And the missionary force in Papua New Guinea is not increasing. It is across the board, it is decreasing. And that is a concern for me. Even in America, as we travel, the word of church is closing and is concerning to me across the board. But God is not finished with calling people. But I think people are not sensitive or have other interests in mind rather than doing what God wants them to do. And I want you to pray with me that God would raise up young men and women who will surrender their lives to do God's will, and in particular, come and help us. And it takes 4.5 hours to drive a road that is sometimes four-wheel, but it's only 96 miles. We come home, we look at the, go to the chiropractor, and he says, where have you been? We show him pictures, and he says, oh, now I understand. And he feels sorry for us and gives us free attention. So that's a blessing of being out of whack, I guess. But no, thank you for your prayers again. And we appreciate so much your faithfulness in helping us to do God's work in Papua New Guinea. By the way, New Guinea's where? North of Australia. Not in Africa, like some have suggested, but north of Australia. It's part of the Indonesia chain, but the whole island is New Guinea, and you divide it in half, and we are on the Papuan side, Papua New Guinea. It's independent, parliamentary government, and very open to missionaries. We have the ability to go in to the school system, and we do each week and teach the Bible from grade 1 all the way through grade 12. And that is a tremendous blessing. And last year, we've seen over 80 people come to know the Lord as their personal Savior. And so God is, that is one opportunity that God has given us in ministry. If you found your, in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians and chapter number 16. The reason why we are in Papua New Guinea is to preach the gospel. The Bible gives a command for us to, for the church to participate and to go into all the world and preach the gospel in Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 16, Paul makes a statement that his goal, his mission is to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. To preach the gospel. In chapter number 15, it defines what that gospel is. And chapter number 15, verse number 1 Corinthians, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I've also received, how that Christ, I love the song that you've sang this morning, lifting up the name of Christ and showing His death, His burial, His resurrection, and our faith in Him. For Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture. And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And then He was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12, and of others. And the Gospel, to preach the Gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Me. He is not a way or one of many ways, but He is the only way. If you want to go to heaven and see the Father, it's through Jesus Christ. Our faith and trust is to be in Christ and Him alone. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it continues on in verse number 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The gospel is a power to reveal salvation. Jesus Christ, the only way to heaven. Just as you have heard and received and believed, there are many others who have never heard the gospel one time. And missions, that's what it's all about. Proclaiming the gospel in the regions beyond to those who have never heard. We have had that opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to many people in Papua New Guinea and seeing, like a video, seven churches started. Souls saved, lives changed. And yet, the need is great. As a church body, there are some things that God has given us an opportunity to participate in, to be able to help people who have never heard the gospel message to be able to hear that message. The message of hope, the message of forgiveness, the message that comes as a result of preaching and proclaiming the Word of God. God has given us an opportunity to participate, and there's some things that this morning I want to share with you that is in chapter number 16. And I want to look at verse number 6 and read as we go down verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the wonderful book, chapter about the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in chapter number 6, in verse number 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, and there be no gatherings when I come. Let's go down to verse number 6. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. And then it talks about Apollos and talks about Stephanas and talks about other workers in the ministry that has helped Paul throughout that ministry. This morning, I want to encourage you to continue on keeping up and doing what God wants you to do as far as getting the gospel message to those in other lands called missions. And how do we do that? And the opportunity that God has given to us, let's take a look at three of those areas that you personally can be involved in. And if you are involved in those areas, can we do a little bit more? Is there something that we're not, or we can, and I want to encourage you to continue on. But also, if you're not participating and in these opportunities that God has given to the church to get the message of the gospel to the regions beyond, would you prayerfully consider what God would have you to do in this area? Let's pray. Father, this morning, thank you for a church that lifts up your name by song and that honors you through their lives. And thank you for their concern and their love for missions and missionaries, as I have been a recipient of that. And Father, this morning, help us and remind us the necessity of participating in your plan for worldwide evangelism. And Father, I pray that your will be done. Father, that we would have ears to hear, hearts to receive, and a desire to not just be hearers only. But Father, help us this morning to be doers of your word. I pray that you would bless your word and the reading of it, and help me to communicate it effectively. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. How can we be fellow helpers? How can we be individuals who help an individual to go to a foreign field and preach the gospel? Number one, I want you to draw your attention to verse number 6. Paul makes a statement, I'm going to come to you, to the church of Corinth, and I'm going to abide with you, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may, and look at the opportunity that Paul is presenting to them, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. The first thing that I want to take a look at and draw our attention to is the fact that Paul is asking them to help him, bring him on his journey. That's an interesting statement because it means this: to assist, to furnish for, to provide for the journey, to do what it takes to help him get from point A to point B. And in our terms, we would call that financial assistance. We find that in helping the man of God to carry the gospel, we are cooperating with him to fulfill the plan of God for this world. Jesus died for the world, and he wants all men everywhere to hear the good news. And you can help and participate in reaching those people by participating in the missions program of this church, by giving, and continue to give in that. We look at Acts, if you would please. Acts chapter number 15 and verse number 3. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter number 15, and Paul has come to Antioch, has reported to the church, and given the report, and there was an issue that came up, and some people came down from Jerusalem. And verse number 10, or verse number 2 of chapter number 15 of book of Acts, he says, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And verse number 3, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren, brought on their way by the church to assist, to furnish, to provide for. If you look at Romans, Paul once again makes a statement in Romans chapter number 15. In Romans chapter 15, he is trying to make his way to Spain. In verse number 24, he writes to them and to the church of Rome, and he makes this request. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. Third John, if you turn to Third John. And as we look at Third John, the gives a little bit better picture of what is taking place. And John is writing to Gaius, and he makes a statement in verse number 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully, and whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers," verse number 6, "which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for the name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers of the truth." There was opposition, and he addresses that in verse number 10 of Diotrephes. But verse number 11, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but follow that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, and he that doeth evil hath not seen God." A fellow helper. How can you be a fellow helper and presenting the gospel to the regions beyond? By bringing us forward, helping us financially. You know, it takes money to be able to do the work of God. Whether it's here in this church, your tithes and your offerings, what you give as an offering to help this ministry, the lights don't come on automatically, and there's not you receive a bill in the mail saying, "Hey, you need to pay this or we're going to cut off your electricity." Our electricity gets cut off whether we pay it or not in New Guinea, and sometimes it's for days. But one of the things about any ministry, it takes financial assistance. And as you give to help this ministry through your tithes and offerings, it is imperative that to get the gospel to Papua New Guinea or to Spain or wherever, that we all participate in giving to the missions offering of this church, so that missionaries can continue on doing what God has called them to do. And as a result, God, the Word of God goes out, and that souls are saved, lives are changed, and that's to your account. But one of the things that I want you to understand is that money will get a missionary to the field, but money will not keep a missionary on the field. There are many missionaries that have come to Papua New Guinea. Some under-supported, some very well-supported. But regardless, man, they did not stay. And I think of certain things. Money will not keep a missionary on the field. It'll keep a missionary, it'll help a missionary go to the field, but will not keep a missionary on the field. And what we need, and it is vital to our existence and what we do on the field, is your prayers. We're in a spiritual battle. And I want to draw your attention to Ephesians, if you would please, and turn with me to Ephesians. And Paul makes a statement about this particular battle in chapter number 6. We are in a spiritual warfare. And the gospel is going to people that have been blinded for centuries, living in darkness, living under the deceptive power of Satan and his cohorts. And he is not willing to give up quickly. We have seen bands broken, and we have seen victories won and souls saved and lives changed and because of the power of the gospel. But understand, it's a spiritual battle that we are entering into, and it's a spiritual battle that we enter into every time we come to a church service. I want you to notice in Ephesians chapter number 6, Paul makes a statement, "Finally, my brethren," verse number 10, "be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And then he yells again, verse number 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And then he begins to explain how we can stand against this spiritual darkness. He goes on, he says in verse number 14, "Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." But that's not a full stop there. The thought continues on. There's something else we need to add. And what is that in verse number 18? "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, and supplication," what's the next three words? "For all," what, who? "Saints." For all saints. We are in a spiritual battle. And you want, and it's imperative as we put on daily this armor of God so that we can stand, it is imperative that you and I pray for one another. You know, our old nature is, man, it's just old nature. But when we look at individuals, and we look at an individual and say, "Man, I would never do that," in our pious tones. "Man, they've gone to church this long? Shouldn't they know better? Boy, my kids would never act like that." And we come with a critical heart and mind, pointing out faults in other people's lives, when in fact, when we see an individual who is slacking off, when we see an individual who is not growing, or not where it seems to be that they're not participating like they used to, it's not a time to point a finger. It's not a time to criticize. It's not a time to condemn. It's a time to pray for them. We don't know what's going on in their lives, but I do know this. It's a time where they're vulnerable to Satan's attack. And Satan wants to discourage. He wants to destroy. He wants to eliminate a Christian from its full potential. He is not your friend. He is your enemy. And the things that Satan hates, he hates for you to be here this morning. He hates for you to hear His Word, to hear God's Word, and He hates for you to sing the praises of Jesus Christ on the cross, His blood shed for your sins and mine. And He will try to disrupt, distract, but He also tries to get our eyes on individuals and discourage us from going forward and to do that which is right. When we see an individual that may not be living up to our expectations, we need to pray for them. We're all human. We fail and we say things and we do things that we shouldn't do. And if you watch my life long enough, ask my wife. But you know what she does? Sometimes lovingly corrects, but many times on her knees praying for me. I want you to understand. We absolutely, each one of us, need your prayers. And we need to be praying one for another. But notice this. Paul does not just stop there. He says, and supplication for all saints. And verse number 19, he specifically says, and for me. The Apostle Paul, the one who wrote many of the letters, had direct communication with God. And yet, he is asking Christians to pray for him. And I submit to you this morning, if Paul needed the prayers of the Christians, I desperately, and your missionaries and your pastors need your prayers. Yes, we need financial assistance, but we need your fervent prayers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, brethren, pray for us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. Ye also helping together by your prayers for us. Romans chapter 15, verse number 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Paul was asking, I need your prayers. As a missionary that's been on the field 26 years and God has done some wonderful things, but the battle is not over. People are still lost. Christians are still growing. And Satan is trying to disrupt and destroy this past year. Some men came on our campus and they said, Gary, we're going to kill you. I want you to understand, the threat is real. Discouragement is real. The thoughts of quitting and the thoughts of, let somebody else do it, is real. I want you to know that we desperately depend upon you to pray for us. If we are going to continue to be successful, if we are going to continue to do what God has called us to do, we desperately need your prayers. These prayer cards are not printed just so, what a beautiful couple, and put them aside someplace, never to be seen again until 4 years later when they come and visit. There's a purpose for this. we have a basket on our table with prayer cards in it. In the mornings, when we sit down for breakfast or at dinner time, we take out a prayer card. We pray for our missionary. We pray for our pastors. It's a something that we can't pray for everybody at one time, but we can pray individually and specifically for the individuals. Please take one. Take two. Put one in your Bible, one on the refrigerator, whichever you go to most. But we want you to pray for us. Here's some things that, you know, physical issues that we face. We've had dysentery and amoebas. We've had malaria. My wife's had malaria several times and different things that takes place in our lives. Pray for our physical health. Pray for our spiritual health. There are seasons of trials and difficulties and discouragements, and just like you have discouraging times, we have discouraging times. We go out visiting and somebody takes a track and rips it up and says, "You come back here, I'm going to do the same thing to you." That gets a little discouraging. A door slams in your face, or somebody's threatened, or but there's discouraging times. There's emotional times. This, thank you for your prayers. When we came home from New Guinea, we arrived June 1st. We were in Baltimore July 7th. We received a phone call saying that Sharon's on the other side and said, "Hey, Zach's gone. We don't know where he's at, her husband. And pray." The family's all gathered at their house. We're on the other side of the U.S. An hour later, tears are in her eyes, hardly could talk. She says, "Dad, they found Zach's body. He committed suicide." Heart-wrenching. The last 3 months, we've been dealing, Berta and I have been dealing with helping our daughter get her act together, get things going in her life, and God's grace has been good. How do you go through that? God's grace, God's Word, but your prayers. By you praying for us. By you reading our prayer letters and saying, "Oh man, they're going through a very difficult time. God, your grace, show it strong to them. May your power be upon their lives." The emotions. It's hard to leave family. If you're in military, you know that. If you're a grandparent, you understand the heart of, "Man, I got to leave my grandkids." Some of you may say, "Man, I'm glad to get out of here. I don't know. But my money's gone now, so..." But it's hard. And it's harder as a missionary going across the ocean. And sometimes you have phone service, sometimes you don't. We'll be talking in the middle of a conversation, we're in a conversation, and all of a sudden you lose signal, not being able to connect again. Emotions. And I want you to understand that your prayers play a vital part in that. And you know what? It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. We all can pray. Huh? Can you pray? I think you can pray. Whether you're 3 years old or you're 103, we all can voice a prayer to God. The question is, do we do it? Are we consistent at it? Do we make it a matter of priority in our lives? You want to help us? You want to help other missionaries? You want to help your pastors and the leadership of this church? Consistent, fervent prayer must be a priority in our lives. Thirdly, and in conclusion, I want you to notice something else. In 1 Corinthians, chapter number 16. And 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, the last part, it gives a list of individuals. Romans, Paul does this to in the book of Romans at the end of the book. He mentions several names. But not only in the names does he mention, but I want you to notice in verse number, well, chapter 15, verse number 58. Because we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Verse number 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. What we need, and then he goes on and he talks about Stephanas, addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They submitted, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Stephanas and Fortunatus, Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied, for they refreshed my spirits. We find that these people were servants. They had submitted themselves to one to another. They were sensitive to the needs of the workmen of God, and they were spiritually refreshing to one another. In all that, they were faithful. They were faithful. What we need as missionaries is for you to be faithful, to play your part so that we can do our part in the regions beyond. This is just, your part is vital as a body of believers. If your finger is missing, man, it's very difficult to do certain things. If you are having an eye issue, man, it's very difficult to drive a vehicle. Every member is vital in order for this body to function properly. And I want to encourage you, you are valuable. And you play a vital part in the function of this body. And when we are not doing our part in the body, then it puts a strain upon other people. It causes other people to carry an extra load that they were not intended to carry. But not only does it affect this body when people are not cooperating and doing the ministry and participating in the way that God wants them to participate, what happens? It affects us. When we decide, oh, that money that we donate to missions, Christmas is coming up and I want to buy something. Or this need is coming up and so we're going to divert that money for this particular item. You know what? That affects us. That affects me. It affects our budget. It affects how we serve and what we do. Be faithful. That's what he's saying. Be faithful. Playing the part that you're playing. Do what God wants you to do. And there are three things that you can do. Be faithful. Be faithful. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't get discouraged. But play the part. Praying one for another. When you see somebody discouraged, when you see somebody giving up, you pray for them. You talk to them. You encourage them. You strengthen them. But you pray for your missionary also. But by your financial giving, you help get the gospel to the regions beyond. Your giving, your fervent prayers, your faithfulness. Many of you over the years have been so faithful, and thank you for that. And this message is to encourage you to continue on. And to encourage you to pray about doing something more. You've been praying for us. You've been giving. And thank you so much. But for those of you who are not participating as members of this church, you're not participating, I want to encourage you. Help with the burden. Carry the load. Give of your tithes, your offerings, but also prayerfully consider what you'll do for missions. The world is in need. Souls are at stake. And what you can do for missions will have eternal value as you support more missionaries to carry the gospel into the regions beyond. But you only can do that as you are faithful. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, as we stand to our feet, my Father, my God, we come to You and we thank You for a church that loves You, that cares about You, but not only that portrays that love by the way of giving, by the way of serving, and following Your word. I pray, Father, this morning that something has been said to encourage us, to show us the need that we can fulfill. I pray that Your will be done. If there's somebody here that does not know You as their personal Savior, I pray today they will meet with one of the leaders and settle that issue in their lives today.